We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tavi ben Menachem Ushim Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyo. We are in Zvachim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. HaPesach v'hachatas sheshchatan shelo lishman, which we know, Karban Pesach and Karban Chatas, if you shechem shelo lishma, those are the exceptions to the general rule, they will be pasul, they will be disqualified. The Mishnah is coming to teach us something we know already, that not only applies to the shechita, but it applies to any one of the four avodos. So whether the Karban Pesach or the Karban Chatas, you shechdet shelo lishma, or Kibel, Vihilech, Vizarak Shalolishman. Or you did the Kabbalah, you received the blood with the wrong intent, wrong carbon in mind. Take for example the carbon chatas, you're thinking carbon shlomim at the time that you receive the blood. Or Vihilech, when you're doing what we call holacha, you're bringing the blood to the Mizbeach. Or Vizarak, when you're doing the Zrika, the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. If at any one of these points of the four avodos, shechita, kabbalah, holacha, or zrika, at any one of those points, you have a shelo lishma intent, so then the Mishnah is here to teach us that will disqualify the karbon, whether it's karbon pesach or the karbon chatas. But the Mishnah now says not only where shchatan shelo lishman, kibel, you receive the blood v'hilech, and you walk the blood v'zarak, and you sprinkle the blood shelo lishman. Mishnah now gives another example. O lishman v'shelo lishman. Or you have a case where first there was an intent lishma, but then there was an intent shelo lishma. What does that mean? So since there are four avodos, it's possible to have where an earlier avoda was done lishma, let's say the shechita, but later avodos were shelo lishma, the holacha, the kabbalah, the zrika, or the kabbalah, the holacha, the zrika. Oh, says the Mishnah, or the reverse. Shelo lishman v'lishman. The earlier avodas or an earlier avoda had a shelo lishma intent, the sake of the wrong karban, but the rest of the avodas had a lishma intent. In all of these cases, psulim. The Mishnah gives us an example of what's this double intent. Ketad lishman v'shelo lishman. What is it? What does that mean? Shelishem pesach u'lishem shlamim. That's where you had intent during an earlier avoda. Let's say at the time of the shechita, you're thinking karban pesach, because that's lishma, that's the karban you want to bring. And then during a later avoda, during the zrika, let's say you had in mind shlamim, a different karban. Shelo lishman v'lishman. How do we understand where it's shelo lishman v'lishman? Just the reverse. That's where an earlier avodah had a shelo lishma intent, l'shem shlamim, which is wrong because this is a carbon pesach bringing. And then l'shem pesach, and then the next avodos you did l'shem pesach. So let's say you shechted with a mind to shlamim, which is the wrong carbon shelo lishma. But that you did the Kabbalah of the blood and the Halach of the blood and the Zrik of the blood, you did that L'Shem Pesach. In all of these cases, it's possible. And the Mishnah says, Shehazevach Nifsal Barba Dvarim, as we've said several times, a Karbon can become disqualified at one of four points, with four things, the four avodos, v'shchita, the slaughtering, v'kibol, of receiving the blood, v'hilach, the walking of the blood, v'zrika. So when it comes to the carbon passing of the carbon chatas, as we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, this will disqualify those karbanos having the wrong intent in mind at any time during one of these four avodos. And for other karbanos, the carbon still will be kosher, but it won't disqualify the carbon, but it certainly will not fulfill the owner's obligation, and it'll have to bring another carbon if there's this wrong intent at any one of these points. And then the Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon disagrees on one issue. Rabbi Shimon machshir behilach. He claims at the time that you're walking the blood within the kli shareis from the mizbeach, where the shechita was done, rather, which was done in the north, and you're bringing it now to the Mizbeach. At that moment, you had a shelo lishmo intent, not for the sake of this carbon intent, that will not disqualify the carbon pesach will be kosher, the carbon chatos will be kosher. Why? Shehaya Rabbi Shimon Omer, because Rabbi Shimon made the following argument. A carbon, what is essential? A carbon cannot be done without a slaughtering, without a receiving of the blood, and without a sprinkling of the blood. It's impossible to do so. You need those three avodos. Aval efshar shelo behiluch. But you can bring a carbon, and the carbon will be kosher in general, even if you don't walk the blood to the mizbeach. Why? Shochet bitzad hamizbeach vizorek. A person could shech the carbon right next to the mizbeach, as long as certain carbonos have to be done in the north. But even so the north of the mizbeach, you don't have to walk anywhere. You shecht right there, right next to the mizbeach, in the north of the mizbeach. You now receive the blood. You're right next to the mizbeach. You don't have to walk it at all, and you just sprinkle it. So you see that holacha is not, although we call that one of the four avodas, it's not an essential avoda. And therefore, a machshava, a wrong intent during that avodah, should not disqualify a carbon. The Chachamim obviously disagree and say, in the end of the day, if a non-Kohen would do the halacha, what would happen? It would disqualify the whole service, the whole carbon. Because the halacha has to be done by a Kohen, cannot be done by a zar, by a non-Kohen. What does that show you? That halacha is essential. Now, it's true, if you didn't do the halacha at all, so then the carbon could be kosher. But if it's done, it has to be done. We say this very often, right? You don't have to do it, but if you're going to do it, you have to do it right. The same thing here. Since halacha, if it's done, it needs to be done with a kohen. So therefore, a machshava shelo lishma can disqualify the carbon during that avoda. That's the argument that Chachamim will give to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Elazar, it sounds like he's about to argue, but he does not. He's actually coming. The Gemara explains on Tezvav and Mebeis that Rabbi Elazar is coming to defend the Tanakam and explain the Tanakam's opinion against Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hamahalich b'mokom shehu tzarech lahaloch, ha-machshava poselos. Uv'mokom she'en tzarech lahaloch, ein ha-machshava poselos. He says very simple. If you're doing a holacha with the blood to the mizbeach in a case where you have to, which is where you shechted the carbon and therefore receive the blood a distance from the mizbeach, so you need a holacha, so then a machshava will disqualify it. If it's a makom she'en tzarech lahaloch, if you happen to shecht the carbon and receive the blood therefore right next to the mizbeach, so then, and you don't need a halacha, so a machshava obviously would not pass, because there is no halacha there. You don't need a halacha. So therefore, that karma will be kosher. So that's, in fact, what the Tana Kama holds. Rabbi Rashi explains in the Gemara that's, in fact, just Rabbi Elazar explaining the opinion of Tana Kama. But to let you know that Rabbi Elazar arguing with his father, this is Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Stam Rabbi Shimon and Mishnayis, we assume is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is Elazar, his son, who's saying, I disagree with my father. Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Kol hazvachim shekibel daman. Now we're about to give a list of several people who will disqualify the carbon. And we'll go through each one and why they disqualify. Some will be obvious to us. But all zvachim, where there was kabbalas hadam in a kli sharis, in the service vessel from the neck of the animal, the blood was received by someone who should not be doing the avodah, so that will apostle, that will disqualify the carbon. So who are these people who will disqualify the carbon if they do the kabbalas hadam? Now this does not refer to the shrita, because the shrita is kosher bazar. Shrita can be done even when they're non-kohen. So the non-kohanim on this list is not going to disqualify the carbon. But the other avodos, kabbalah, halach, and zrika, so that will disqualify if it's done by a zar, by a non-kohen. So the first person on the list is a zar. So if a zar does the kabbalah sadam, or zrika sadam, those three avodos, he will disqualify the carbon. Number two on the list is the onen. Onen, we mentioned in the past, so onen, where someone loses a close relative, the day of the death itself is where the person is an onen midoraisa. He's not, as a kohen, he's not permitted to the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and if he does the avodah is pasul. Who's the exception to this rule? The kohen gadol who kimi makriv, when he is an onen, which we learn from Parsha Shmini, discussion between Moshe and Aharon. Then the Mishnah says, Tvul Yom, who else will disqualify the service if he does the Kabbalah Sadam? That is eight Tvulyom, someone who became Tamei, let's say someone touched a dead Sheretz, one of the eight Shratzim listed in Pasha Shmini, which makes you into an Av HaTumah, or high level of Tumah, so you need to go to the Mikvah, but going to the Mikvah is not sufficient, you're only partially Tahor, you have to wait till Ha'arev Shemesh, till the sun sets. So that person before the sun sets is called a Tvulyom, he immersed himself during the daytime, but it's not nighttime yet, the sun has not set, and therefore he remains somewhat tamei. He therefore, as a kohen, is not permitted to do the avodah. If he does it, he disqualifies it. Mechusar begadim. Here's someone who is a kohen who's not wearing the requisite amount of clothing he's supposed to be wearing. So if it's a kohen hedyot, he needs to be wearing all four begadim. And if he's a kohen gadol, he has to be wearing all eight. If he's missing one, so then that will disqualify the avodah. Bar Tanura adds on this list, although he's not mechusar begadim, let's say he's wearing extra clothing, that will also invalidate the avodah. If it's a chatzitza, if there's an interposition between the clothing and the skin of the kohen, the pasuk says yilbash al bisaro. The clothing has to be worn, as in part says in the chumash, that the kohen has to be wearing his clothing on his skin. You can't have a chatzitza between the begadim and his basar. So you have that example. The kohen, in fact, would not be wearing a tefillin shel yad for that problem. Tefillin shel rosh he could wear. There was space for it. But tefillin shel yad he could not wear for that reason. And who else is on this list who would disqualify the kohen? Mechusar kippurim. Chusar kippurim is someone who was tamei, had a high level of tamei, mazav, azava, mitzora, yoledes, when he gave birth. So their tahara process is only completed after they bring kabbarnos. Not only is there mitvah, not only is there a count of 7 days, but there or more. So there's also bringing kabbarnos afterwards. And if they have not brought their kabbarnos for full atonement, so then they're not permitted to they're not able to eat kabbarnos themselves. And if it's a kohen we're speaking of who was a zav, let's say or mitzora. So, and he didn't bring those special kabbaros to atone, so then he's still possible to do the avoda. And if he does the avoda, he will disqualify the avoda. So just like the Tvul Yom, who is still considered somewhat tamei, the same thing is true when it comes to these people. When it comes to the Oledis, the woman who gives birth, the pasuk says, V'chiper aleha kohen v'tahera. So what does that mean? It sounds like only after the kapara, of the bringing of the karbanos for full atonement, then she has tahera, then she's completely pure. So that implies that all of these people on this list, the Zav, Zava, Mitzora, besides the Oledis, are all people who are not going to have v'tahera, complete purity, until they bring their special Karbanos for atonement. They are therefore mechusar kippurim. They are lacking in their atonement, and therefore they serve in status of tumah. And of course, therefore they can't do the avoda. Who else is on the list? Shelo ruchutz yadayim raglayim, a kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet from the kior, which he has to do before he does the avoda. What's the problem with such a person? So it says when it comes to bigdei kahuna, which we said are essential for the avoda, you can't be wearing, can't be lacking in the bigdei kahuna. It says chukas olam. And when it comes to washing the hands and feet before the avodah, it also uses the word chukas olam. So the Gemara says, just like big day kahuna, if a kohen would be lacking his clothing, it would disqualify the karbon. So too, if he didn't wash his hands and feet from the kior before he walked in, the same thing because of the chukas olam. How would the kohen prepare himself? He put his hand on his feet. And the water would come out. He can't put his hand in the kior. The water comes out of the spout of the kior, and then he rubs his hand on his feet, and then the water goes on both, and then he's going. Then he's totally able to do the avoda. Then the Mishnah says, "Arel." An arel is also going to be possible. What's an arel? An arel is someone who hasn't a kohen hasn't had a bris mila. So somebody showed him say this refers to any arel can't do the avoda. Even an arel who has the right not to have a bris mila. If two brothers, God forbid, in the family already died because of a bris mila, that's a chazak already. The third brother does not have a bris mila. Nonetheless, that will disqualify from the avoda. And other rishonim claim not so. That such a kohen should not be possible because he has every right not to have a bris mila. The arel we speak of is an Ariel who hasn't given himself a bris milah. Then the Mishnah says, Tame, this is a Kohen who became Tame, let's say, touching or Sheretz, and the like. So we've already had several people who are semi-Tame, so certainly a Kohen who has regular Tame is going to be a Pasul. Now, just to return to the Ariel for a moment, what's the source that an Ariel can't do the Avodah? In fact, it's a pasuk from Yecheskel, Perek Mem Dalim, who speak about the third Beis Hamikdash. It says, "Kol ben nechar Ariel lev va'Ariel basar." Oh, so the pasuk compares the two Ariel hikish Ariel leben nechar. What's a ben nechar? Ben nechar is not a Jew. So if it's a ben nechar or ben nechar, we think someone who's a mishumad. Maybe it's a Jew who's gone off the derech. So we compare it to ma ben nechar avad pasul. Just like a ben nechar does the avodah pasul, af Ariel is going to be pasul. And once again, machlokis, what type of Ariel we're speaking about? Who else is possible disqualify avodah? A yoshev, someone who a kohen who does the avodah who's sitting. Now, why would that disqualify? Because the pasuk says in Devarim Yudches la'amod l'sharis, the shavers, the service must be done mu'uman when standing. Omen al-gabe kelim al-gabe behemav al-gabe ragli chaveiro pasal. And finally, the last three on the list, and all sort of in the same camp, and that is Summer Kohen, who is not standing on the floor of the mikdash. He's standing on a kli, or on an animal, or on his friend's feet. The ritzbah of the azara is mikadesh, and without having the feet on the ground, on the floor of the azara, of the Beis HaMikdash, so that the karmel is going to be disqualified. This is derived from a comparison between the ritzbah of the azara and a kli sharis itself. The service vessel is mikadesh, whatever it's placed into it. So the special oil that's placed in becomes kadosh only when it's placed in a kli sharis. It can be designated for a karmel, but not until it's in a kli sharis does it have kedusha. So just like a kli sharis is mikadesh, sanctifies something that goes into it, something that touches it, and there cannot be any chatzitza between that item, the flour, the oil, whatever you're putting into the kli sharis, the blood into a kli sharis. So too the ritzpah of the azara, that's also like a kli. There shouldn't be a chatzitza between that, or between him, the one who's doing the service, which is the kohen, and the ritzpah. So that's true. So what did Mishnah say? You can't be standing on kelim. So that is certainly something that's going to serve as a chatzitza. But an animal maybe, which is made of flesh, maybe that would be okay. No, even that's possible. And then it's the agabe ragle chaver, but my friend, another human being, maybe that would be okay to stand on his feet. So the Mishnah teaches you each one is a bigger chiddush than the next, that is all possible. Then the Mishnah happens to be the one other case. The Mishnah says here is kibul b'smol. Let's say the kohen received the blood with his left hand. So says the Tanna Kamma pasal and Rabbi Shimon machshir. What's this based on? So the pasuk says vayikra dalid v'lakacha kohen midam hachatas be'etzba'o v'nasan. So this is the kohen taking from the blood of the chatas with his finger, and then he's supposed to sprinkle it from the dam chatas. So what does that teach you? That teaches you melamed shalot, says the Bar Tanur, shalot tehe kabbalas hadam v'lo nisina b'l'yamin. It needs to be the right hand. How do I know it says right? It says etzba'o with his finger. Ah, the chomokum shenemar yado etzba'in l'yamin. I know every time the Torah uses the word yad or etzba, hand or finger, I know it's the right hand. Where do we learn that from? The yalef b'mitzora. We learn that from the mitzora. What does it say about the mitzora? The tavala kohenes etzba'o hayimonis. There it says the Kohen dips his right finger. So that serves as the model, the Bamematzinu, what we call it, or a Binyanav, let's say, that in any place you see etzba or yad, with the assumption is that it's referring to the right hand. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. That's why I know that Kabbalah Dam Bismol is going to disqualify. How can Rabbi Shimon then say that it's going to be kosher? So this is based on a certain type of way we expound psukim. So the pasuk that we're using here to learn this halacha from is v'lakach hakohen midam hachatas be'etzba'o v'nasan. So how do we learn this pasuk? Etzba'o, what's that going on? Is that going on v'lakach that precedes it? V'lakach, the kohen should take the blood, the damachatas be'etzba with etzba. Etzba means the right side, the right hand. And v'lakach is referring to the receiving of the blood. So that teaches me that the receiving of the blood should be done with the right hand. And then it says, v'nasan, and he should place the blood, sprinkle the blood. Apparently, that should also be done with etzpa, or with the right finger, with the right hand. So this is what we call mikra nidrash lefanav ula'acharav. When we have the pasuk can be darshan, can be learned, we look at what precedes it and what follows it. So when it says be'etzba, which is the right hand, the right finger, that's not only going on what follows, v'nasan, you should sprinkle the blood with the right hand, but v'lakach, on the receiving of the blood. Rabbi Shimon says, no, nikra nidrash la'acharav lo lefanav. No, I look at what follows. If it says be'etzba o v'nasan, that means I'm using my right hand, my right finger, to place the blood, to sprinkle the blood. Receiving the blood, v'lakach, that etzpo is not going on. That's why I have no idea how to receive the blood. And in fact, therefore, kibul b'smol would not disqualify the carbon according to Rabbi Shimon. Mishnah continues, nishbach al ritzpah. Let's say the blood spilled out from the neck of the animal, not into the kli, first into the service vessel, but onto the ground. So he didn't receive it in the kli, v'asafo, and then he gathered it up from the floor. Pasul, that's not allowed. Why? The pasul says, v'kach midam hapar. So we learn, well, v'kach midam just means you should take from the blood of the par. No, we learn from there, v'kach, as if it says, v'kach dam mehapar. Min ha-par yikabalenu v'lo min ha-ritzpa. I have to ask to be from the par and not from the ground. Mishnah continues, what else, Nissa? No, let's say you place the dam, the coin placed the dam al gabe ha-kevesh, onto the ramp of the Mizbeach, which went all the way up to the Mizbeach, or shalo nasan keneged ha-yisod. Or let's say he sprinkled the blood, but he sprinkled it not in the right place. It wasn't opposite the yisod. And the yisod, we'll learn, is really the base of the Mizbeach. You look at the pictures, a lot of pictures you can see in all different Sfarim about what the Mizbeach looked, but the base was had what was called Yesod. That was the base. It didn't encircle the whole Mizbeach. It ran along the north and west sides of the Mizbeach and extended one Amma around the northeast and southwest corner, so it looked like it went around the whole thing, but it only kind of jutted out a little bit on the other two sides. And the halacha is that when you sprinkle the blood, it must be thrown down against a corner of the Mizbeach that's at least partially over the Yesod. So here you have a case where a person did not sprinkle the blood over the Yesod, over that base area. Or a Mishnah says, Nasan asanitanim lematan lemalon, vesanitana lemalon lematan. He placed, literally, just to say literally what it means, he placed the blood, sprinkled the blood, though above when it should have been below, or below when it should have been above. Now, what does that mean? So the Mizbeach was 10 amos high. And right halfway up the Mizbeach, 5 amos up the Mizbeach, there was something called the Chut HaSikra, which was this literally says thread, but it really is like a line that went around the entire Mizbeach. Now, this red line was there to separate, so we knew certain carbonos had to have their blood sprinkled above that line and some below. In fact, most of them were sprinkled below the line, below the Chut HaSikra, the carbon ola, the Ashav, the Shlavim, the Todah, the Bechor, the Maser, the Pesach, and the Chatas Ha'of, or bird Chatas. But there are a couple of carbonos that had to be done above the Chut HaSikra, the Chatas Behema, the sin offering, which was an animal sin offering, not a bird offering, and an Olas Ha'of. And the bird offering, when it is a carbon ola, that had to be above the Chut HaSikra. So let's say you did it wrong. You sprinkled the blood below when it should have been above, or the reverse. Or Mishnah says, etz halitanim bifnim, bachutz, you have certain karbanos that have to have their blood sprinkled on the inner Mizbeach, the Mizbeach in the Heichal, which is the golden altar, which is Mizbeach Hazav, Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is, let's say, on Yom Kippur, karbanos have to have it sprinkled there. And we'll learn that later on in the fifth parak. Etz halitanim bifnim bachutz, you sprinkle them on the real Mizbeach. You sprinkle them on the regular Mizbeach, on the animal Mizbeach, which is in the Azara. Or where it's most karbanos, that you're supposed to sprinkle the blood on the outer Mizbeach, one in the Azara, you made a mistake and sprinkled on the inner Mizbeach, on the very small golden Mizbeach in the Heichal. In all of these cases, puzzle, this disqualifies the carbon because you sprinkle the blood incorrectly, but vein mokares. But a person who eats the meat of this carbon, of this puzzle carbon, is not chayiv kares. Now, why would I have thought you'd be chayiv kareis? So this is an important, we'll just do a briefly introduction to the Mishnayos that will follow, and that's the concept of pikul. Pikul is where the Kohen does one of the avodos. Let's say he sprinkles the blood with in mind that he's going to eat from the karban chutz lizmano, beyond its allotted time. And karban shlamim could be eaten, let's say, for 2 days and a night, and the night in between. And the Kohen has in mind, when he's sprinkling the blood or shechting the animal, he's going to be eating from this karban for a week long, or for 3 days, whatever it may be. That renders the meat pigul, and if you eat that karban, that pigul, that the flesh of that karban, you chayv karis. So the chiddush of the Mishnah here is, let's say what happened here with the sprinkling of the blood. Let's say the Kohen did these matanos with in mind to eat from the karban chutz lizmano, like, and made it. Should this not make the karban pigul? And if you eat it, you chayv karis. The Mishnah says, you're not chayiv karis. The says the carbon is pustel. So why are you not chayiv karis? Why is this not considered a pigul? So the answer is because he did the sprinkling wrong. The only time pigul, you can render the carbon pigul, where if you eat a chayiv karis, where the Kohen was thinking, had in mind, I'm going to eat from this carbon beyond its allotted time, that's when he does the zrika properly. But if he makes the mistake in the zrika, which disqualifies the carbon, it cannot render it pigul. And therefore, if you eat the flesh of the carbon, you're not chayiv karis.